the few areas. We'll see how far we get. I got 26 pages to cover. I don't think we'll cover all those tonight. But there's so much truth in the Word of God that I really want us to dive in deep. How many of those, sometimes you need to bring a fork and a knife? Sometimes you need to be spiritually prepared for the Word. Because truly, we can all grow in the grace and knowledge. And I know that the Lord can take you on a journey, even while I'm speaking. I'm not talking about your mind wandering over to McDonald's or something. But God can speak one word and all of a sudden unleash a whole lot to you. Remind you of something that he instilled in your heart. And in Romans chapter 1, verse 8, I'm going to be covering five heart attitudes that the Apostle Paul had. In Romans chapter 1, verse 8, says, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken throughout the whole world." I want to make this statement to you, that true ministry is not built on professionalism, intellectualism, or ritualism. Real ministry takes place as truth flows out from one heart to another. When we look at Romans chapter 1, verse 8, notice he says, "First, I thank God." Number one, Paul had a grateful heart. That means he was positive, he was hopeful, he was uplifting. How many knows it's pretty easy to criticize? I said it's pretty easy to criticize, but it's another thing to build up. I said it's another thing to build up. The church needs to be built up. We need to encourage one another, and all the more as we see the day approaching. I didn't think we'd be here this long already. I thought the Lord would already come, but he has a plan. He is going to come one day. To me, the only reason there's a divine delay is so more people can get saved. Amen. Say amen. Amen. I mean, we're grateful that God knows the perfect timing. But today, more than ever, we need to build up. Notice he said, "First, I thank my God." When I look at that, he's looking at these believers, and he's thanking God for them. We also need to thank God. You want to add a layer to your prayer time? Start thanking God for others. Start thanking God for his provision in your life, for how he's blessed you, how he's forgiven you. It starts to change because sometimes we can get in a rut of criticism. We can become cynical, even as believers. I'll say amen. How many knows it matters? Some of you in this room have a gift of encouragement. What that means is that naturally it flows from you. You can build people up. You know, some of us have to work on it. In fact, some of us were raised in a home that may not have been that uplifting. You may not have heard too many encouraging words. Sometimes we got to work on that. But I've met the most cynical people end up being the greatest praisers. How many of us, we can change that area of life. It's a choice too. We have to look at it, you know, when you start to bless people, I mean, it's that you're starting to speak words of the kingdom. Oh, it's kind of quiet in here. In 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 2, if you're taking notes, he says, "I give thanks to God, always making mention of you in my prayers." When I look at 1 Corinthians 1, verse 4, he starts again, "I thank my God always." It seems to be a theme for the Apostle Paul, that when he starts to address the people, he thanks God for them. He thanks God for the people. When you meet the Apostle Paul, when you get to heaven, he's going to be the same person, a thankful, grateful person. He's going to be one individual that I'm going to go to when I make it there and say, "You know what? Thank you for giving your life. 2/3 of the New Testament was written because you were obedient. And the gospel was preached to the Gentiles." Hallelujah. How many of us, we have the same precious promise? I mean, we need to start that now. I don't want us to be so thankful there that we're not thankful now. Oh, come on. I mean, it's nice to hear a word of thanksgiving. Listen, if somebody does something nice, go out of your way to say, "Hey, thanks for doing that." Say amen. Amen. Now, I'll speak for Jerry. There isn't a service go by that Jerry doesn't come up to me after service and say, "You know what, I really got something out of the message today." I don't ask him to do it. I don't expect him to do it, but that's in his heart. And my response every time is, "Jerry, I'm so glad." I mean, sometimes we got to, "Lord, work in me. Change me from glory to glory." He says, "First, I thank my God." I want to have that too. I want to thank God for what he does. Notice he says in the next verse, King James says, "My God." He says, I thank my God. That's a heartfelt thing. That's a genuine feeling that God has opened him up. He's saying, listen to me. There's a path that's reaching Rome, and I thank God for it. When if you know anything about history about Rome, how they used to persecute the Christians, how they were put to death, it was the center capital of that world. Many times, even in history, it says all roads lead to Rome. They were built those roads. They dominated the area. And now Christianity becomes a center focal point in a place where there's so many idols. How many knows God is so good? How many knows he can see even save even in a place that's the most heathenistic in the world? How many knows that's the way God is? Listen to me, if you work at a place that doesn't seem like it has the Lord working in there, pray. God's able to change that environment. And he'll probably use you. Notice he's thanking God through Jesus Christ, the mediator of our prayers. In Ephesians 5, verse 20, I give thanks always and all things unto God in the name of our Lord Jesus. Back to Romans 1, 8 says, look at this. I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all. Say you all. A little bit of hillbilly going on there. He's thanking God for others. First I thank. Notice what he's thankful for. That your faith is spoken throughout the whole world. I want that to be something for Lighthouse. That their faith is spoken above the whole world. People will know you're Christians by your love. But they will see your actions and prove that you love. Because if I say I love you and I don't meet the needs, where is that love? Now, you're not saved according to works. You're saved according to grace. But Paul said, I'll show you my faith by what I do. How many of us, if we say we're going to meet the needs, then we should do that. Now, I'm thankful this church is benevolent. We give a lot out. We do. We bless a lot of families. We meet needs that people don't even know of. Hallelujah. But notice that their faith is spoken of. Listen to me. That means they became famous Christians in the whole world. He's saying, listen to me, your faith is spoken off into the known world. Wherever these Roman roads are traveling, your faith now, you Christians, this heathen nation that we're living in Rome, now has the gospel being preached. And Paul said, I thank my God for that. Think about all the Zeus and Mars and Jupiter and all the gods that the Greeks resurrected, as it were. And now you have King Jesus being preached. I mean, that's a big culture change. I mean, that's pretty awesome. It's sounded about all over the world, as it says in Romans 10, verse 18. In Romans 16, verse 19 says, for your obedience has came abroad unto all men. I love that. Can you imagine a church where people can say, man, those people walk by faith. I have it printed up here. I'll say it again. Make room for miracles. Then we need to make room in our hearts. I mean, those things received by faith. And believe me, faith comes. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by what? That means the word needs to be going over. Lord, let me hear the word. Let me hear the word. Because in my own understanding, my own intellect, sometimes I can get in the way. Sometimes it's so simple by faith, yet I make it so difficult. Say amen. Look at verse 9. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you in prayer. Number 2, Paul had a praying heart. He's mentioning them in his prayers. The idea is unselfishness. When you start to pray for other people, you realize that your prayer life can grow unbelievably. Amen. Sometimes you can well, who do I pray about? Well, get a prayer list. And be faithful with that. I mean, if you're really going to cover people, and I'm not just talking about this. Bless Jim, Bob, Sue, George, amen. I can do that in 30 seconds. But when you really start to think about people, and you really start to pray about them, it takes some time. And when you become obedient to the Holy Spirit in those measures, sometimes it'll take hours to cover those things. Sometimes you may not even be done with your prayer list before you have to shift gears and do something. Oh, nobody here. Notice he's saying, I pray for you all. Can you imagine the Apostle Paul praying for the church at Rome? That'd be a pretty awesome prayer, wouldn't it? How would you like to just listen to him a little bit? Oh, man. Because then he's got to worry about the Corinthians, the Ephesians, the Thessalonians. He had a lot to cover. Even with all that weight, he still covered them. He covered the prayers. He covered the nation. We also need to do that. Listen, one, two of you agreeing with God can do mountain-moving situations. I want to be a praying church. How many want to be a praying church? Real service comes from the heart. Notice in this verse here, it says, I serve him with my spirit. We also need to do that. Not with lip service. Not to say, hey, we want to do this. No, with my spirit. I'm going to put all that I got into my service. Don't people deserve it? Do people deserve your best? Then we need to offer that. He said, with my spirit. That means my inner being, my strength, I'm going to serve. And with that, you know what? When the obstacle comes, you may be hit a few times, but you're not going to give up. The enemy will always try to bring discouragement. He'll always try to bring it. He'll try to get you off track. He'll try to make you feel inadequate. Or even when you do right, that it's not good enough or whatever. He's always has his finger on that area. That's why we need to encourage one another daily. Amen? Some of my greatest attacks ever come Wednesday night and Sunday afternoon. The enemy will do this. No one heard your message today. Nobody cared. Do you think the enemy would speak that? I'm telling you, he does. He tries to get you off track. He tries to make you feel like you're inadequate. You didn't do a good job. Oh, nobody knows here. Say amen. How many of us, we need to encourage one another all the more as we see the day approaching. Notice verse 10. Making request, if by any means now, at length, I may have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come to you. He's making requests. Look, I want to come, but I want to come when God opens that door. In my heart, I want to be there. So God, prosper that journey. So when I come, we can really meet together. Timing with God works out so perfectly in so many areas. But he's praying, hey, look, pray for me. Any great man or woman of God will ask for prayer. I don't like it when ministers go, I don't need anything, don't pray for me. No, you probably need all more prayer. Pray all the more. Pray for your pastor. How am I going to pray for your pastor? Pray for your pastor. Have me on your list. I don't mind that at all. And there are some times the Lord will strengthen me in that. There's been some times in my prayer time, the Lord's spoken this to me. There are others seeking me right now, praying for service on Sunday. Do you know how that enriches me? How that excites me? I'm like, cool, then I'm mixing my faith with theirs. Every week we come together, there's an enemy fighting to keep things down, keep things status quo, keep things like, no, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. We have an enemy of our soul. There are strongholds over nations. There are strongholds over cities. They have to come down. Amen? I mean, God can do it. But we need to pray. We need to pray for our next generation. I'm serious. When I looked around and I saw all these ministers, there wasn't, I bet there was one under 40 in the whole group of a couple hundred. And I looked and I said, you know what? I know these gray-haired men and women have done great service, but Lord, we need a new generation to rise up. I said, we need a new generation to rise up, to grab hold of that mantle, to learn from those that are older, but now to take that youth area and use it. Because when you're younger, you have a little more energy. Things don't hurt as much when you exude yourself. Say amen. You don't get that, Who knows what I'm talking about? And what was that, I used to be able to do that, but now, How many here have ever tripped over the carpet and there was nothing in the way? You just tripped over the carpet. Oh, good, I'm not alone. I've even looked back before. Like all of a sudden, like there's supposed to be something there. I don't know. I've done some goofy stuff. I mean, I've done some goofy stuff. Like, I'm not saying I'm super clumsy, but amen. I'll go down there. Amen. Number 3, if you're taking notes, Paul had a longing heart. He says, I long to see you. How many knows he longed to see them? Every time his heart ached, that's what needs to be in our hearts. When we look at this, we can be comforted together. In Romans 1 verse 12 says this, that you may be comforted together by a mutual faith between you and me. I want us to be together. You know what? When we're not, that hey, we have that area. Now, I have to admit, if I'm gone for a Sunday or a Wednesday for on vacation, it feels like I've been gone forever. Yeah. It's like, I know it's a short time, but man, it just seems like I've missed the people. He's aching in his heart. That's a great heart to have. That if somebody isn't around, hey, I missed you. People can tell if you generally care. Amen? You know what? Your heart aches. He's looking at them saying, man, my heart aches to see you. I want to come. When I come, I want to bring encouragement. I want to be strengthened. I want to be strengthened in the common faith. Hallelujah. Say, God is good. Look at verse 13. Now, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purpose to come to you, that I might have some fruit among you, even as among the Gentiles. Notice the word fruit. This wasn't the result of Paul's labor or his reward. It was the good works that they were producing since they've been planted in Christ. He's not saying I'm taking credit for your fruit, but I'm saying I see it in your life. We should be able to see fruit in one another. Would you agree? Every tree is known by its fruit. An apple tree, you can tell because it has what? Apples on it. Well, you know what? Christians should bear fruit. You know what? There should be love in your life. There should be joy in your life. There should be peace in your life. How about this one? Some long suffering. How many of these things cannot be manufactured in the flesh? Now, there is a love that people can have for one another, even though they aren't Christians. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about an agape love with God, that you love him with all that you have, that joy is being produced, that when somebody needs some joy, they can take it from your life. Amen? Paul's saying, listen to me, you church at Rome, I rejoice there's fruit, that you've been planted in the gospel, now you're producing. Can you imagine him as a traveling minister, caring over the churches, when he hears a word back like that, hey, there's fruit being produced at the church of Rome. Man, their faith is going all over the world. Can you see how that would help? Because many times he had to deal with adversities. He had to deal with struggles. He had to deal with being in prison. Sometimes it's good to hear a good word. Say amen. I use Bob for an example. I appreciated him coming up here. How many knows he would like to hear some good words too? Then, you know what? Be ready in the spirit. God may give you a word of knowledge or drop something in there. If it's a true, authentic thing, we all want it. If it's just your spirit and your flesh, that don't profit much. Number four, Paul had an indebted heart. Say indebted. In Romans 1 verse 14, I am a debtor both to the Greeks, and King James says the barbarians, to the wise and the unwise. He says, I'm a debtor. I'm obligated to the Greeks and the non-Greeks, those that are unwise. I'm calling on them. I'm indebted to those things. You know what? Many times when God changes lives, it's such a parallel between you and him and you and others. That your relationship got restored with God, now he's restoring it with people. That is so awesome. I want as many people as I know to go to heaven with me. Amen? I don't want one person to end up in hell. I don't want one person to be separate from God. No matter how, if there's a disagreement or not, all that's carnal. All that's fleshly. It's not going to matter one iota when you breathe your last. Then, Lord, I want to be, Lord, with you. He's indebted. He said, I'm indebted to these, the wise, the unwise, the Greeks and the non-Greeks. I wonder how many times somebody else has spoken a word in your heart and you thought, man, how did they even know that? I've seen children begin to bring a word of God and like, man, that's pretty good. How many are indebted for those that have already passed on? I am. How about all those that risked their lives to give us the gospel? I am. How many of us were indebted? We're indebted to those. And the generation that's now will become indebted to us. Not that we're trying to hold it over their head, but you carry the word of life. For you and your families, some of your families, listen to me, they need the gospel. You're carrying that. You may be the person that shares that word to them. And I know this for a fact. We're all stubborn. True? I mean, sometimes God's got to work on that shell a little while. He's not going to break the nut, but he'll sure work on the shell. Let's leave you number 5. Paul had an eager heart. In Romans 1, verse 15, for as much as I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. I am ready. He's determined. It corresponds with his indebtedness. Man, I'm determined. Lord, I'm indebted. I'm going to go do this. Verse 16, for I'm not ashamed of what? The gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also the Greek. These are life-changing words, like John 3:16. God so loved what? We also need to hold Romans 1:16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Paul's speaking it over a church of Rome with all their idols, with all their fake gods, with all this stuff that's named. And let me drop this one on you. There's a few planets in Scripture that God named, like in Orion's belt. But I wonder what he really calls all our other planets. Because a lot of them have Jupiter, Mars, Saturn, Venus. Those are all Greek-oriented words. I wonder what he calls it. Just a thought. Say amen. We'll figure that out. He names them all by name. Maybe it'll blow us all away. Verse 16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God. It's the what? It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, the Jew first and also the Greek. When he's speaking over this, the metropolis of the heathen world, the heart of the empire Rome, the city of philosophers and poets, the heart of every conceivable idol, the center of all intellectual arrogance, and it's built on war. He says this, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. He stands up and declares in the midst of all that, with all the idols, with all the philosophers. He speaks a word, I'm not ashamed, because it's the power of God. It's what's going to change mankind. Plato won't do it. Socrates won't do it. Jesus Christ will do it. Hallelujah. Can you see how he spoke a word? Many times he said, you guys are, wait, you have a little idol here to the unknown God. Him I'll preach because I know him. He made known. He wasn't ashamed of that. We shouldn't be ashamed of the gospel. When you get that in your spirit, you know what? You can be bold to anyone. Come on, you can be bold to anyone. You don't have to change your personality, but we don't have to cower down. We can speak a word. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. That means I shouldn't have some fear in me if I have to share my faith. Oh, I'm preaching now. Come against those things. Fear has torment. It's the only enemy trying to put that on you. Notice that the gospel has the power to change men's life. It's the power of God. It's the highest manifestation of his power. It's the power to change people. When I look at this as with compassion and love and the grace of God, anyone can change. And Paul is declaring to a heathen nation, the gospel is here. And now the faith is being shared abroad. I wonder how many people got saved in Rome during that time. I wonder how many hierarchies got saved during that time. How many princes and nobles got saved at that time? Heaven will record that. But if you think about it, don't we need it now? Yes. We have a Christian heathen nation. Yeah. Amen? We say we love him, but we don't follow him. We say we, but we don't. Until I get voted. If the vote goes this way, then I'm that. If the vote is better this way, then I'm that. There's too many men pleasers today. Declare what you are. I said, declare what you are. Today, more than ever, we get that Greek word dunamis or dynamite from this power word here. It's like the dynamite of God, the power of God comes in the gospel. That means, listen to me, when you speak it, the power is there. I like to look at it this way. When somebody gets mad because I share my faith, it's only because there's an explosion of truth going on. Yeah. Yeah. Hallelujah. And he's looking to blast some of that off you. He's looking to blast the enemy away. How many of that? That's power there. Paul's saying this is the type of power. It's dunamis power. It's like dynamite power. It's just not a little bit. This power does this. It's power to save. Forgive your sins in the past. Impart new life in the present. And admit you in heaven in the future. Notice God's power is able to do it all. Now, if you sin today, how many knows that, hey, I can still be forgiven now. Tell me what else can change your life, past, present, and future. Nothing on earth can do it. No philosophy, no vain repetition, no idol. None of them can do it but God himself. Amen. And Paul said, I'm not ashamed of this truth. Lord, let me have that boldness. Sometimes we just say, Lord, give me that boldness. Come on, a bold person will do great things for Christ. The cowardly, the unbelieving, it says in Revelation, you'll have no part in the kingdom. Oh, I can go down that road. Acts 4, verse 12. You enjoying tonight? Amen. Acts 4, 12 says this, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I love that. There's no other name. When somebody says there's another way, there's no other name. There is no other name. I'm glad there is a name. It's Jesus. The enemy will try to say, well, there's many roads to heaven. There's not. That's a lie. He said, there's no other name given. No one else has given you what he has done. He has purchased the price. What I always marvel is that all these fake gods, they're all self-serving. It's what you have to do for them. How many of us, what God did for you? That's what restored the relationship. You just accept what he did by faith. Say amen. How many of us, God did something different? In Romans 10, verse 1 says this, Paul's heart's desire and prayer for Israel was that they might be saved. In Romans 1, 16, look at the next part of this verse. For it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that... Say believes. Now Bob, he testified that this today. You need faith to receive what he has. Because the power can be available, but do you believe it? Do you want it in your life? It's there, it's real, it's accepting if you want it, but you can still reject it. It's to everyone who believes. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. To the Jew and also to the non-Greek. That means the rest of us, age, education, income, skin color, family background, it doesn't matter. There's no human distinction in what God wants to do. But notice he said to the Jew verse in verse 16. That means the priority rests upon the Old Testament, the revelation that God gave to Abraham. Now, how many of us that the gospel was to the Jew first? It was. They had the promises. They had the prophets. They had the prophetic utterances. And he went to them. But many of them rejected him. And God in his dispensation of grace says, then I'm going to go after the Gentiles until the fullness of them come in. Then I'll work on them one more time. Because if you read the book of Revelation, there's going to be a mighty harvest of Jews again in the last days. That one day they're going to do this. They're going to realize Jesus was the Messiah. He was Yeshua. He was him. They're going to have that revelation. In fact, the 144,000 are not Jehovah's Witnesses. They're Jews from every tribe of Israel. Even the tribes that were thought were lost, God knows every tribe. They're going to become powerful witnesses. Can you imagine this? 144,000 spirit-filled Jews that know the word of God evangelizing the area, it will turn it upside down. If we had that today, it would still turn it upside down. How many of us, we need to be about our Father's business. Priority rests upon the Old Testament, and believe me, they had it. It had the full. They had the genetic priority. They were, salvation was of the Jews. There's no doubt about it. There's no refuting that. John 4:22, you worship what you don't know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is of the Jews. Jesus spoke that. The Jews have a historical priority. They also have a legal priority. That means they have a claim to the gospel according to all that's been given to the apostles and prophets. They can make a legal claim that we have the gospel. But even with all that, you can still not believe. Amen? Come on, in Acts 1:8 says, you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. How many of us, we need that power? And you shall be witnesses where? In Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, then the ends of the earth. He said, listen to me, you, my people, this is what I want for you. God wanted the Jews to be saved. But their rejection brought in the non-Jews. That God said, okay, I'm going to take this wild olive branch, like an offshoot, and I'm going to graft it into the true vine. That the same promises that you have legally, they now have. We're not stepkids, we're kids now. We have the same promises now. We can claim what Father Abraham has. Hallelujah. I mean, that's unbelievable. We need to learn more and walk in more of the promises God's given us, because now we have a legal right. Now, I know Tiger's here this evening. My understanding is that when somebody's fully adopted, they become the child. Is that true? And that the same rights of that child is like any natural born child. Is that true? Isn't that cool? Us non-Jews have the same right. Say amen. And salvation is a right given. The promises are a right given. The Holy Ghost is a right given. All those are now mine. Me! It's like, who am I on all this? It should excite you to know that you get this stuff. Amen? And since now I've been grafted in, you can't tell the difference between me and the true branch. Hallelujah. Every nutrient has came up into that. And it's so intertwined now, you can't pluck it up or cut it off. Hallelujah. That free grace has changed. More of this we'll cover when we get to chapter 4. But we'll go from there. Amen. Are you enjoying tonight? Yes. Look at verse 16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone, the Jew first, and also to who? All those who represent that aren't Jews. Greek, sometimes in this portion of Scripture, is equivalent to Gentiles. You now have the same promises. Now you have to receive it by faith. Hallelujah. You have to receive it by faith. Because when he starts to address the church now in 1 Corinthians 10:32, give none offense to the Jew, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. He starts to lump and bring it together. Now, there's a benefit of a true Jew, don't get me wrong. They had the gospel first. But now I can walk in those promises by faith too. I can call him Daddy God, like somebody who's been born in that. Amen? I can say, you know what, Father Abraham, because he's the father of faith to me. Hallelujah. When Paul said, I'm not ashamed, it's the power of God. It's the proof of the gospel. It's the primary importance of the gospel. Even when you get to Romans and also in Galatians, everything that matters in this. Righteousness, we're standing right in God's eyes. That is such a great thing. It's such a great thing to know that you're right in God's eyes. No longer is sin having dominion over you, but you're forgiven. When I look at this portion of Scripture in 16, it's a legal term like this, taken from a courtroom of the ancient world. It declares this, you are not guilty and innocent of all your charges. The righteousness that proceeds from God is a right relationship that God has placed man and God Now you're forgiven. That judicial act of forgiveness is real. Hallelujah. In the court of heaven, boom, you are forgiven. I am free from all charges. Isn't that awesome? I know what I did wrong. I'm so guilty. But in his courtroom, he has deemed me. Jesus paid my price, and I walked free. Hallelujah. That is good stuff. No wonder Paul's saying, I'm not ashamed of that truth. It's absolute righteousness. It's absolute grace and truth, first revealed in Christianity. It's a good deal, amen? How many knows we win? This righteousness, listen to me, has been established. It's now real. And now we live it by the Spirit, no longer of the law. When the law was given, when the Ten Commandments were brought forth, it revealed sin. It did. It exposed sin and we all died. When God said, thou shalt not, we all did it. We broke them. At least one of them you have broken in your life. Hopefully you haven't broken all ten, but the truth is that we've broken them. Would you agree? Amen? Don't count how many you broke either. I don't want to know. But the truth is that it exposed sin. When sin was exposed, we all died. But thanks be to God, Jesus fulfilled the law. He kept every bit of it, every letter of it. He fulfilled it. Now we can go to him. He is now our propitiation. He is now our grace. He is now our substitute. Since he's brought that through, we can accept it by faith. And why is it so hard for people just to accept what God's done for them? You know what? I've met people that will go through some unbelievable works to get their life right with God. I mean, do unbelievable things. Like show up every day to a certain thing just so they can be right with the Lord. When God said, you can just ask me and be right. Now, I'm not discounting the works, but the truth is that sometimes we'll do more works than accepting by faith. I'm preaching now. I've seen that a lot in a lot of places. Well, I need to do this so I can feel better. I need to do this because the priest said I had to. Can I get real weird with it, or are you going to get mad at me? I don't care how many times you move a bead, you need to accept by faith. Amen? I don't care how many say, Our Father, who art in heaven, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord with you. I don't care how many times you have to say that, you can make that a ritual too. I'm not picking on anything, don't get me wrong, but it's by faith. If you could get it done by works, then God would have told you so. And if you could do it by works, then Jesus died in vain. He didn't have to do what he did. Can I be that loving and say the truth like that? How many of you need the truth? Amen. When the law was established, listen to me, it had certain alien rights, and Jesus had to fulfill those rights. Do you know what Jesus did that? He knew that the law said this, so I will fulfill that. Even becoming the death of the cross, he knew that a sacrifice had to be offered according to the law. It had to be done in a certain way at a certain time, and he even did that. When I look at Christ's righteousness, it's fulfilled. And now we can keep it by the Spirit of God. You know, when you put your whole heart into something, you'll follow through with it. Amen? Paul's saying, listen to me, I'm wholeheartedly about this. And sometimes you'll put your hand to the plow. You're not going to, I'm not, you know what? I'm not giving up. I'm not backsliding. I'm not going to the world. How many of us, we need to declare that. It isn't like I'm going to serve the Lord for a few years and go back to the world. No, there's nothing there that I want. We have to declare, you know, as for me and my house, all the days of my life, I'm going to serve him. Whether there's some times of fruitfulness or some times of struggle, he's still Lord. Amen? I wish these bodies were more permanent sometimes here, but it's just carrying us. It's just a vessel. And one day this tent will be folded up. Amen? When it comes to God's righteousness, it could not be justified by any works we have done. Nothing we could have mustered could fulfill it, but his work satisfied it. And I love it that God is satisfied with what Jesus did. I picture him when he's rising from the dead, and Mary wanted to touch him. He said, don't touch me. I got to ascend to my Father first. I got to sprinkle heaven like I've sprinkled earth. Because see, when Lucifer was cast out, he took some angels with him. Those demonic hordes that left their first estate, they've never been brought back. There is no redemption for them. So he cleansed everything. That mercy seat has cleansed from here all the way to the altar of heaven. Hallelujah. The blood has been applied, and the Father is like this. I am well pleased. When he spoke of his Son, hear him. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. He pleased the Father on my account. That when I ask for forgiveness, I'm granted it. Because it pleases the Father to have harmony in heaven. It pleases the Father to know that we're justified. It pleases the Father to know that what Jesus did is now complete in me. That is awesome news. No wonder Paul's saying it's something that I really want you to hold on to. Like John 3:16, I want you to be able to quote Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel. For it's the power of God unto salvation. Say it with authority, and believe me, God will hear you. Hallelujah. You enjoying tonight? Well, I got to stop here at this point. I mean, I got more, but we'll have to stop there. But God's good. How am I going to enjoy this series in Romans? There's truth there, that believe me. Even Martin Luther, when he got a hold of that scripture, it changed his whole life in ministry. When he saw all the works being done, he saw how people were sacrificing in the natural fleshly area, and then he said this, I read the just shall live by faith. How many of us, we need to live by faith too? And Paul declared over a heathen city that I'm so happy Christianity is being promoted from here. The center hub now has got the truth that every Roman road that has been created now can have the gospel go down it. And he declared in front of all the heathen, in front of all those who thought they were wise, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Hallelujah. And he had the heart to carry it. The more the Lord trusts you with things is because the more mature you become. Many times people can confuse gifts of God with maturity of God. Well, God's using me in this gift. I must be awesome. He must be have his validating. Believe me, you can operate in and out of a gift of the Spirit. But when you start to be mature, you can learn to handle the gifts appropriately. If God uses you in the gifts of the Spirit, you know what it's for? To bless him and others. You're just a vessel. I want every gift of the Spirit in operation in this fellowship. From the gift of helps, to the gift of prophecy, to the gift of miracles, to the gift of laying hands on hands, to tongues, to interpretation, to prophetic utterances. I want them all to operate because he's the Holy Spirit in our midst. Amen? And you know what happens? The body tends to increase because it's built up in love. We'll get into that later on. You enjoy tonight? Did the Lord instill something in your heart? Let's serve him. Amen? Father, thank you for this time. That, Lord, we've been grafted in. We have now your righteousness. And, Lord, like the Apostle Paul, he had those heart after you. Lord, let us have that longing heart. Lord, Jesus, let us walk in your ways in every measure. With your heads bowed here, I want to ask you this evening. I'm here to say, Pastor, there's some areas I know I need to give over to the Lord. I need to have him working. Let me see your hand this evening. Maybe there's something you're struggling with. How much the Lord can help you? You know, he'll be gentle with you. But ask him, Lord, help me in this area. I know this, you judge yourself. You won't be judged of another. Nobody knows you like you. But ask the Lord to work in those things. Let this be a year that some of those things drop off. That we can be more like him. And secondly here is, how many know sometimes it's easier to do works than it is to walk by faith? Just to believe. Sometimes we just got to believe that, Lord, what you said will come to pass. And believe me, when you do that, your works will be known because it'll be shed abroad. I'm not discounting works, but listen to me. You'll show your works because you have faith. Hallelujah. Father, I pray a blessing on this congregation. Lord, go with them in strength and power. Lord, remind us of your word, Lord, that we don't let it slip, but we sow it deep in our spirit to grow in your grace. Lord, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.